Our New Testament lesson today comes from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We continue our readings in Luke's Gospel today, and really we'll be in the Gospel of Luke pretty much throughout the season of Lent, that time between Ash Wednesday coming up on March the 5th, I believe, all the way to Easter Sunday, which is later in April this year. This text from Luke is the second half of what we started last week, which is sometimes referred to as Luke's Sermon on the Plain. Jesus has called his first disciples, he's named some apostles, and now he is setting out to begin this very serious teaching and preaching ministry. And so this is where Jesus continues to teach the disciples and his apostles what he wants them to know. So this is Luke 6, chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. Listen to these words, friends. Listen closely, even read along, should you so desire. Jesus is speaking and he says, "But I say to you, listen. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who persecute you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from everyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." These words from Luke chapter 6, ending at verse 38, are for us by the Holy Spirit, the word of God for all the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now as we go into this text, in order to be sent out from it, may the Lord God bless us in our hearing of these powerful words. And may we trust the message much more than we trust this or any other messenger, that our lives might be blessed and our hearts transformed by the will of Christ the Lord. Amen. Well, a long time ago now, I graduated from college. And as soon as I graduated from college, I was encouraged by a group of mentors and church leaders to accept a scholarship that they were offering me to go to seminary. Seminary is where you go to get your master's degree in the Presbyterian Church. That's what you have to do to become a pastor. I went there to study theology, and I think they presumed that I would be a pastor someday, that I was going to become a pastor. And at the time, I did not presume the same thing. I wasn't quite sure about that. I did not really accept this notion. I decided that I would go and study theology because what I really wanted to be was a professor. I wanted to teach Christian ethics, theological ethics, ethics. That's the kind of professor I wanted to be. If you look up ethics on a dictionary, you'll find that ethics are a system of moral principles. And then it will tell you that they also affect how people make decisions and lead their lives. And finally, ethics is concerned with what is good for individuals and society. All those things are true. Moral principles applied in our lives are what ethics become. They do shape who we are. Perhaps more than anything else, our ethics, the way that we make decisions, the things that we say yes to and the things that we reject and say no to, define how we live more than anything else. And they are good for individuals and societies. They keep us safe and they help to make us wise. Now, some of you, to give an example of a set of moral principles or things that you can look forward to, some of you all may have been to one of my parenting classes. I teach it about once every 3 years. And in the parenting class, I encourage the mothers and fathers who are there to develop a family mission statement. a way that they might help guide themselves with the decisions that they are making for their kids. In other words, if you just take a baby when it's first born, we baptized a little baby here this morning at White Memorial. If you take that child now and you just throw some dart on the wall for 18 years from now with no directions and no mission and no idea of what it is that you're hoping to accomplish, you don't have any clue what's going to happen. As a father, I rarely have a clue anyway, right? My mission statement, though, helps keep me on the right track to what my wife and I, their mother, agreed upon years ago. Now, do not think this makes me a perfect parent. I'm not. I have had far many failures than successes. That is true. But no matter how I failed, I knew what I was failing at because I had a goal. I had a standard. I had a mission statement. I had something that I could aspire to. And what we always said is, with God's help, we want them to become young men and young women of faith and character. Faith. They're not the center of the universe. Faith. They have been told that God is good and that God is good all the time. Faith. They have come to believe that God loves them and cares about them. Faith. Right? They will not always get what they want every time because God is sovereign and they aren't. And then character. What are our moral principles going to be? What are our ethical principles going to be? How are we going to put character into practice in our lives? Will you do the right thing even when no one is looking and you will get no credit for it? Will you do the right thing as a person of character even though no one will see it? And if you choose to do the wrong thing, no one will see that either. Faith and character, what we believe and how we act, right? So I started on the journey, right, long ago to become a pastor or an ethics professor. And I thought I'd be teaching classes on Aristotle and Bonhoeffer and Martin Luther King, Howard Thurman, John Calvin, Martin Luther, and so on. But instead, I became a pastor. I did. It's that old joke, if you want to make God laugh, tell God your plans, right? We've all seen that bumper sticker. So being a pastor means that you speak a lot. I preach about 40 weeks a year. Three times a Sunday when we do preach. I also do a couple dozen funerals a year. I did a wedding yesterday. I had to make speeches sometimes in the community. In other words, I'm constantly looking for material. And my best material, because I'm a pastor, comes from the Bible. And the faithful way to be a pastor who preaches and tries to live through the words of the Bible is to take the text of the Bible that you have and see where it leads. So sometimes it tells us about sin. And sometimes it's going to tell us about love. And sometimes it's going to be about salvation and the glory of God and the gift of life after death. Sometimes it's going to be about the grace that forgives us and then sets us free for lives of celebration. Sometimes it's the parables of Jesus. Sometimes it's a psalm like Anne read a little while ago. And today, the second half of Luke is all about the ethics of Jesus and how he is telling us he wants to live our lives in order that we can become the people that God desires that we be. And here's the thing, if you read along with me, or if you listen closely, this is hard. This is a hard, hard text. It is huge. It's so big. It sets the bar up so high for what our behavior and what our choices ought to be. It's very difficult to do. I submit to you that we could stay here, come back every Sunday for the rest of the year and preach Luke chapter 6, the verses I just read, and we would never run out of things to teach. You heard those things from Jesus and certainly you thought, what? That's what I'm supposed to do? You want me to love my enemies? I'm but one man, but there's a lot of people in the world right now that I'm confused by and concerned for and angry at. And Jesus, you want me to love them? Really? Reinhold Niebuhr, the great 20th century ethicist, once said that this was evidence of the impossible possibility of the ethic of Jesus. In other words, if you read Luke 6, you cannot do all of this. But you're supposed to try anyway. No one can be this perfect. But you're supposed to get busy anyway. That's what this means for us today. After Jesus escapes his hometown of Nazareth, he starts teaching, and we don't have all the ground time to cover all the ground that he covers in his teaching in Luke chapter 6. But I've mentioned a few of them already. How about this one? Would you give your shirt to someone after you'd already given them your coat, especially if it meant that you didn't have a shirt? How about turning the other cheek? Someone harms me, Jesus, and you expect me to turn the other cheek? You expect me to get hurt again? Do to everyone as you would have them do to you. I said last week, I'll say it again, I'll stand on this today, tomorrow, forever, that this is one of sort of the high points in all the Bible, this simple verse, and we all know it. The golden rule, do to others as you would have them do to you. And if human beings just did this for 5 hours today, we would transform the world. We would. The problem is that we're not very good at that. Not good at it at all. So it's a huge thing to do. It's a huge text. Easy to say, hard to do. But if we take Luke 6 seriously, if we take the Bible seriously, the questions will come. Will we show mercy to people? Will we offer forgiveness to those that we have deemed to be unforgivable? Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Love your enemies. Do good. Lend. Expect nothing in return. And y'all, that's not me. Those words are too big for me. I'm not smart enough or brave enough to come up with those on my own. Those words are the words of the Savior of the world here in the Gospel of Luke today. I asked the guys at men's Bible study on Tuesday morning, I said, after I finished reading, how does this text make you feel? And one guy said, all I can think of is thanks a lot. Best of luck to me. It's a high bar. I've got one story about high bars. That was when I was in high school, we were really good at track. I think in my 4 years, we won 2 or 3 state championships. We were really good. And the reason why we were really good was that the head PE coach was also the head track coach. And we had sort of track and field as a PE unit all year long. So like a rainy Monday, we might play volleyball in the gym. And then Tuesday through Thursday, we're sunny, we were out on the track. What he was doing basically was he was getting extra track practice in. Right? That's what he was doing for the guys and the girls that were on the team that were really good. But in order for it to be legal with the Louisiana High School Athletic Association, every kid had to do every event in PE. There were no exceptions. So you look at me and you go, that guy's a shot putter, right? That's exactly what y'all were thinking. No one here thought that guy can do the pole vault. No. He put that pole vault in my hand. Right? Every year from my freshman year to my senior year, I never got over the thing once. Never one time. Right? That's not the way that God gifted me. Okay, so I know something about a bar that you can't get over. It's hard, hard, hard when Jesus sets the bar so high and says, I know you're going to miss, but jump anyway. See, let's make a decision today about how we will make our decisions, about how we will choose. Will we base our decisions solely upon what is good for only us, or will we dare to follow the Savior and choose what is good for others as well? And you don't have to be a social psychologist or historian to know this, that most of the time, we look out for number one. We do. And all the while, Jesus is running in the face of that kind of thinking. Now, there's a lot of preaching out there in the world. I don't hear a lot of other people preach besides our staff, but when I'm in my car, I'll find the radio station with the preacher on it. There's some doozies between Raleigh and Richmond on I-95. I'll just let you know that. And there's some interesting people on TV that preach as well. And a lot of that preaching is about what you're going to gain. Like, accept Jesus into your heart and claim your blessing. Right? Some of the preachers, it's wealth, some of it's debt relief, some of it's they're going to get divine knowledge, the anointing of the Spirit, and all that is good stuff. Yeah, all those are good things. The problem is, again, following the Bible closely, the Bible doesn't really talk about what we gain as much as it talks about what we're expected to give in order to be able to follow God. So, expectations. Expectations about what we give, expectations about what we act, God's expectations about how we are supposed to regard others. And nowhere are the expectations higher, the bar higher, than in Luke 6. Let's take a challenge together. I'll do it if you'll do it. Take some time this week and just turn on your news and just ask yourself, how are we doing? How are human beings meeting the expectations of God in terms of taking care of each other? Or if you don't like that one, ask this. Think about the last major decision that you made and the way that you made it, the criteria that you had. Review that decision and ask yourself, did I even try to get over the bar? Was I thinking of others at least as much as I was thinking of myself? Or did my scale lean one way or the other? That's hard. I know it's hard. But like I said, I'll try it if you will. And I'll make you another deal. I'll pray for you all this week, if you'll pray for me. In the name of God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, we offer these many things today and always. Amen. Go, friends, from this place to tell the story of Jesus and his love. And remember, that love will show up in unexpected places and call you to moments that it may not be comfortable to be in. But that's okay, for the greater risk you take with love, the closer you will be to the heart of God. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, to be a blessing in the world around us. And may you and all whom you love receive the blessings of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, until we meet again. Amen.